Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Jersey Coastal Live. I'm Andrea Tarr. This past weekend was the Garden State Film Festival, which happens once a year. It's been happening in Atlantic City for, I think this is the third year now. It's really one of my favorite events because I am a lover of films, and it's really wonderful to go to a film festival. You see all of these films that you would just normally not see anywhere else. And so since it was the Garden State Film Festival, that means it's time for my annual filmmaker series. And this is my own personal tribute to independent filmmakers. And over the next couple of weeks, you will meet some filmmakers that I met at the Garden State Film Festival. And, you know, independent filmmakers are doing this for the love of film. It's not about big budgets and not necessarily about big audiences, but it's always wonderful to be at a film festival and have this opportunity. So part one of my filmmaker series, we're featuring Michael Boylan of Pennant Films. And Michael's from Atlantic Highlands, and he had a film in this year's Garden State Film Festival, and that film was The Radio. So, Michael, thank you for being with me.
Andrea, thanks for having me on again.
Well, yes, again. So we should mention that Michael was on Jersey Coastal Live a while ago. And actually, because the radio actually went, it was at a theater in Atlantic Highlands just about a year ago, actually, right?
Yeah, not too, just about a year ago, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
And so, yeah. So it was fun to have the opportunity to see it in a theater setting, and of course, congratulations for being in the Garden State Film Festival.
Thank you very much. Yeah. Thanks. I appreciate it.
So, what was your festival experience like with the radio? I'm guessing a little different from the Atlantic Highlands.
Yeah, no, definitely. It's nice to see it with, you know, when we had a premiere, obviously it was like friends and family and, you know, some strangers, but mostly people we knew. So you kind of had that support. But to go into a festival circuit, you sort of have this uneasy feeling of, oh, or how are people going to react? And are people going to like it as much as, you know, all my friends have been saying they liked it? So it's kind of a unique experience because you don't know what you're going to get. And you don't know what the other films you're going to be grouped with are, if they're going to be good or they're going to, you know, kind of fit together well with your film. So, but, you know, this is our second time in the Garden State Film Fest. We had the last time I was on your show, we had this movie called The Baseball Card. So that was the first time I had an experience with the Garden State Film Festival. And we had a great experience then. And it was just as great this time too. It was wonderful.
So that has to feel very strange, you know. As you were just saying, you're in a room with a group of strangers, and they're watching your movie. So how are you feeling when all these strangers, like you said, not your family, not your friends, how does that feel?
it's a little, you know, it's a little scary, but you just want to make sure that, you know, people are laughing and crying and, you know, and sort of reacting the way that you intended when you know, and it happened, which was great. You know, I kept looking at my wife, you know, people would laugh at the right part or, you know, there's a couple little jump scares in the movie and people, I could hear people, you know, and that's that's such a great thing when you hear those moments and you hear the audience reacting the way that you intended to, you know?
Because isn't the movie like, it's like another child. You must have that paternal pride when people are watching your creation.
Yeah, especially, you know, with me, I wrote with the radio, I wrote, directed, and sort of produced it and edited it. I did everything. So you spent a lot of time with this, like you said, this child. And now, you know, you're hoping that people are going to accept this child into the world with open arms, you know?
Mm-hmm. So at the end of the film block, so there's usually Q&A with all other filmmakers. And did you have any surprise questions or what did people want to know about?
I think some of the questions were about just like anything that was tough making the film. So I talked about directing this young boy, you know, this boy Cole Gabrielson, who played the lead in the radio. So we talked about that and just dealing with the 12-year-old boy and trying to kind of keep him in check, you know, while you're filming. So I kind of talked about that. We talked about, some people ask about the location, which was great, because then I kind of talked about Atlantic Highlands and how much I love the town. And it's such like a, you know, it's just a very cinematic town. It's just beautiful with all the houses and, you know, the hills and stuff. So we talked about that. Yeah, and I'm trying to think what else. But, it, you know, it was just really nice to even get questions asked and for people to be curious about certain things, you know. It just makes you feel good about your project as well.
Yeah. Well, it makes you feel like people are paying attention. And, you know, I have to say, it feels like Atlantic Highlands was another character in the movie because it featured so prominently all this fantastic scenery. And for people who don't live in this area and aren't familiar with Atlantic Highlands, it's unusual for the Jersey Shore because most of the Jersey Shore is sea level, but they don't call it Highlands for nothing. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So that's... No, it's beautiful. Yeah. It's such a cool, cool town with all the hills and everything, you know, for sure.
Yeah. So what else did you enjoy at the festival, at the Garden State Film Festival? Now, were you there for the entire festival?
I wasn't. We went down, my wife and I went down Friday night, and we went to the opening night gala, and then we woke up the next day and went to one block before ours, saw our films, and then we had to leave to get back to our kids and stuff. So I wish I could have spent the whole weekend there, but we just didn't have the time, you know?
Well, the one thing I did, unfortunately this year I missed the Friday night gala. I just couldn't get there in time. And the movie, they always feature a really cool movie on Friday night. And that movie, Doe, looked very interesting to me. Did you see it?
I didn't get to see that because we were meeting some friends that were happened to be down in Atlantic City. So we went to dinner. But I heard good things about that film. I definitely want to check that out when it's, you know, when it's available online or,
I do too. We're not even going to tell anybody about it, but it looked pretty interesting to me. Yeah. Yeah. That looked like a lot of fun. So what other films did you see that really got
you? My wife and I went to the block right before ours and we saw this film called Good Old Boy. And I read the description. I was like, wow, this sounds really cool. It's like right up my alley. It's about it was supposed to take place in the late 60s, early 70s. So it was like a period piece. But it was sounded interesting. It's like about an Indian family who lives in America. And this boy is in love with the girl next door, you know. And it's like the story about just the difficulties of, you know, his family's culture, you know, dealing with America, you know, America, and then this boy, you know, kind of in love with this girl who lives next door. So it just sounded really cute, and we went and saw it, and I really liked it. It was excellent. Very well done.
For me, the biggest challenge always is there's so many movies, and I want to see so many of them. Obviously, you can only be in one place at a time. So I find it, as much as I love the experience of being there, I leave feeling very frustrated because there's no other opportunity to see these films. You know, some of them might be five minutes long, you know. But so now I need my own festival. That's the challenge. But it's just the way it is. But it's always fun. And now you've done, I think, you've been in many festivals. Is that right? That you've
with the radio, with the radio, we did a big slew of festivals. We actually went all the way out to as far as Oregon. My wife and I went out there.
Oh.
I was involved in this great film festival in Astoria, which was awesome. And that was neat because I'm a huge fan of this movie called The Goonies. I don't know if you've ever seen The Goonies before.
It's
a famous.
They
filmed it in this town, Astoria. So that was one of the reasons why I submitted there. Because I was like, how cool it would be to see the radio in Astoria, knowing that I was kind of influenced on movies like that as a kid, but also to have people in this town, you know, see it. And then for my wife and I to be able to kind of go around and check out the locations from the film and stuff like that. So we went out there and we had such a great time. It was a really, really awesome festival. Any other filmmakers listening, definitely check it out. It's a great film festival.
Now, what is it about film festivals for you that, or do you think for other filmmakers as well, what drives you to be part of filmmakers? I mean, to go to Oregon, obviously we live in New Jersey, that's just a 5-minute ride. So that's a trek. So what drives you to go to these film festivals?
Well, with Oregon, it was, like I said, it was going
well,
out
yes,
to,
okay,
to
that,
be,
that
yeah,
particular
but,
one, yeah.
Right, right. But I think in general, I think it's just, you know, having your film be seen by people that would generally never see it before, because unless they're at this film festival, they're never going to see it. But also, it's so great to meet other filmmakers and sort of, you know, I think every filmmaker goes through the same thing where they're, you know, their feelings of, hey, are people ever going to see my film? But to sort of relate to other filmmakers and have discussions and to kind of talk shop and just issues and problems or just success stories or whatever. It's just great to meet other filmmakers and sort of, you know, talk shop and sort of network and just have nice conversations, you know?
One of the things that I'm always interested in is budget. And when you get a group of filmmakers together, you know, after the block of films, and inevitably somebody asks about budget. And, you know, some people have $15,000, $20,000. And I guess for an independent filmmaker, that could be a lot of money. But some people have no budget or a budget of $2,000. I am always
right.
so impressed with what people are creating at all, the, you know, with the, all these different levels of money. And
yeah.
so how does everybody do this?
I don't know.
How do they do that? Yeah.
I can only speak to me. I just, you know, when we've made films, we really have no budget. It's basically to feed the actors and the crew and, you know, everyone's kind of helping out because they want to be there and just be a part of the story that we create.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's, you know, for me, I haven't done like a big budget, you know, film yet. It's possible, you know, things keep getting a little bigger and bigger as I go. But I don't know. Like I see these films and you can tell right away, you know, which ones have the big budgets and which ones don't. But in the end, I really feel like it's the story, you know, it's the story. If you have a good story, it doesn't really matter the budget, as long as you can kind of get the story across in a creative way, that's the most important.
Well, several of the filmmakers that I, you know, got to see who were talking about budget, their biggest single item was food. So, yeah, they had they had no budget for equipment or whatever, but you have to feed everyone on set. So that's where all the money goes.
Oh, yeah, that's important.
Yeah, I know. You have to take care of your cast and your crew, that's for sure. Do you always have a ready supply of people that are willing to participate in your films?
Yeah, we definitely have, you know, me and my DP, his name's Mike Altino. He's also, he's like a filmmaker as well. His brother, John, is an amazing soundtrack. He does music and soundtracks. So to have those two just to begin with is amazing. You know, I'm so lucky to have both of them. They're both super creative. But then, yeah, I do have some friends that I sort of loop in to do certain things, you know, that help out with whatever it is, whether it's sound or just, you know, going to get food. My wife is amazing. You know, she's been such a big help. The past two films have been shot mostly in my house. So she's just the patience alone is a big job, you know. Everyone, it's just great when people pitch in and they just they feel your passion and they want to be a part of that. It's such a good feeling.
That has to be a good feeling. Now, of course, going back to the radio, because we were saying, you know, it's one of your children. You have that paternal pride. So in this particular movie, do you have a specific thing about this movie what is your favorite thing about this movie, the radio?
Well, I think, you know, the story was my favorite thing because I wrote it.
Okay.
And, you know,
you wrote it.
It meant a lot to me. Yeah. But also just some of the scenes that we filmed were really kind of fun and creative. My DP and I, Mike, sort of spent a lot of time on the lighting and that kind of stuff. So there's the scene where the boy first starts to hear his uncle, but you don't really know at first. It's kind of like a scary moment. We spent so much time. We actually got together a couple days before we shot to set up the lights. We probably had, you know, we probably had maybe 10 lights going all at once. And we wanted to make it look like it was just a boys' room at night, you know, when the lights are off. And when you watch it, that's what it looks like. But we didn't want it to look like we had film lights set up. We wanted it to look very natural. And I hope we accomplished that. You know, I think it has sort of a spooky kind of a feel. But, you know, it's one of those things that people don't realize how much work goes into just a simple scene like that. But in the end, it looks so great, you know, that that's, you know, definitely one of the scenes I'm most proud of.
Good, very good. Now, we talked a little bit about lighting before we went on the air, because lighting, mm-hmm. I think, is obviously a very important part of any film. And, you know, for me as a photographer, to me, it's all about the lighting. And you
yeah.
said that you are very drawn to how Steven Spielberg does his lighting. And so,
yes.
How did you learn about it? Did you figure it out? How did all that come to be for you?
I went to film school after I got my undergraduate degree, so I learned a little mm-hmm. bit about it there. And then, you know, just from watching videos online or watching films and sort of dissecting scene and trying to figure out where the lights were, you know, things like that I think are huge. You know, in this day and age, you can go on YouTube and search, you know, filmmaking lighting,
yes.
and there'll be, you know,
yes.
there'll be like 50 videos that you can watch that kind of teach you all the basics and stuff, which is so great. But then when you get to start some of the creative stuff, you kind of figure it out on your own, or, you know, like I said, you can watch a scene, you know, and then sort of figure out, oh, I can tell they must have had a light here, or, you know, that kind of stuff. So, you know, it's a lot of, you know, watching online videos, you know, figuring out on your own, you know, just kind of guessing where lights are and just trying it practically, you know, setting up
mm-hmm.
a room and just saying, here, let me put a light here,
yes,
see how this looks. And yeah, exactly.
So when you go to a movie, I mean, not one of your own, but you're out in the theater,
mm-hmm.
do you find yourself watching the movie from a very technical standpoint?
I do, and it's almost frustrating. You know, I miss that time when I was a kid where I could just watch a movie and just let it, you know,
yeah.
take me. And
yeah.
that happens every once in a while still, but even to this day, if I go to a movie with my wife, I know the story structure breakup, and I'll kind of guess, like, I'll know when certain things are going to happen, and I'll, like, whisper to her, and she's like, shut up, you know, she doesn't want to know.
Right, right.
So it's hard for, yeah, it's hard as a filmmaker to watch a movie and just enjoy it sometimes, because you're really sort of, you know, kind of analyzing it and sort of guessing, you know, how they did certain
mm-hmm.
things and that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You probably have to watch every movie at least twice, once for the technical
yeah.
part and once to really get it. Yeah.
Yes,
so
exactly.
I understand that. I really do. So
yeah.
tell me, what is it about Spielberg and his use of lighting? And you specifically mentioned E.T. What is it
mm-hmm.
about that really speaks to you?
I think I just love the way Spielberg makes a scene look, like I said before with the radio, like very natural,
okay.
where it almost looks like they're not using any film lights at all, but
they
used a ton of film lights, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I always think it's very cool when you see a scene in a movie where, you know, maybe somebody is in bed in the dark, it's total darkness. And there's always
mm-hmm.
this one little sort of like moonbeam of light, you know, how do they, and I always find myself thinking, how do they do that? It looks like it is total darkness, but you know, there's a light in there somewhere.
Right.
And so
right.
I guess when you can't figure it out, maybe that means it's well done.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. When you're sort of like perplexed of how it's done, but yeah, I think
mm-hmm.
good lighting, you don't notice good lighting. I guess that's the best way to describe it. If you
okay,
notice lighting,
yeah.
then it's
yeah.
not done well. If you don't notice it and it looks natural, then it's done very well, you know?
All right. That makes, you summed it up perfectly. That makes total sense. It really does. So now that the film festival is over, and if somebody
yeah.
would like to still watch the radio, what can they do to watch it?
They can go to, if you go to Vimeo.com, which is kind of like a nicer YouTube sort of, a lot of creative people use it.
Mm-hmm.
You can search for the radio on there, or you can go to www.pennantcollective.com, and that's P-E-N-N-A-N-T, collective.com, and then you can actually click on a link from there and watch the movie right from there.
Okay, good, good, good. So even though the film festival is over, you still have the opportunity out there to listen. And you know what I'll do for everyone? I will put links, the links that Michael just spoke about, I'll put them on my blog so you don't have to worry about memorizing. But actually,
that'd
if you just
great.
Go to Vimeo and you type in the radio, will you find it that easily?
Yeah, it should come up. Yep, it should
okay.
come up pretty easy.
Okay. Now, of course, you have something else happening this weekend. You have the premiere
yes.
of another short movie, The Suitor.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
let me just tell you, listeners, the poster for this movie is really cool and gruesome. I definitely liked it. And I have to read what it says. What was, oh, the perfect night, perfectly dead father. Wow, is that a great first date? Yeah. So let's tell me a little bit about that one. That sounds pretty gruesome.
Yeah, you know, I love horror movies, and my friends always ask me, Mike, you've never made a horror movie. Like, why haven't you made a horror movie? So this is sort of my answer to my friends. Like, here, I'm going to, like, slowly step into the horror genre. But it's more horror comedy, but it's just it's a fun story about a guy going on a date with a girl of his dreams, and he has to win the approval of the girl's dead father's ghost. So it's like you said, it's almost like a bad date. You know, it's like a date with this guy and this girl, and the dead father is interfering with the date. He doesn't like the fact that his daughter is dating. So from the grave, he's sort of interfering. So it's like a fun roller coaster ride. It's only 10 minutes long, but there's ups and downs. There's comedy and then there's horror, you know? So it's like, it's just like a nice mix of, you know, of both of those genres smashed together.
Okay, I just all of a sudden had a flash of Abbott and Costello meets Frankenstein, you know, the comedy and the horror all together. That's kind of a cool combination.
Yeah.
So what was your inspiration for The Suitor?
Well, it's funny. I actually wrote this in response to wanting to work with these two actors that are in the film. There's the male actor, his name's Patrick Monahan. He's a senior at Red Bank Regional High School. I saw him in a Two River Theater production that I was filming for work, and I was blown away by his performance. And I approached him right after and said, I have to work with you. And then I saw the other actress, Kay Lynn, in this zombie movie by Chris Ellisstein, who I think you have interviewed before, called The Soulless.
Yes, The Soulless.
And I saw her. Yeah, I saw her, and I was like, wow. So I talked to her mom and said, I have to do something with her. So I basically came up with the idea for this film to put those two actors together because I knew that they were going to have great chemistry, and I just knew that I wanted to work with them. So that's kind of where, you know, the inspiration of making this film was, you know. I came up with the idea just based on getting these two guys together, you know.
So what attracts you to this particular genre of film?
I'm more attracted to horror. You know, I grew up kind of loving horror films. Like one of my favorite movies is Halloween. So I just loved John Carpenter's Halloween. You know, Nightmare on Elm Street, you know, was always like a big one of mine. So I just love being scared as a kid, and I just like have this nostalgic feeling for horror films. So this is sort of my little tiptoe way of getting into horror, even though it's horror comedy. It's like, it's not 100% horror, but it's sort of my way to ease into the genre. So maybe I'll do more in the future. Who knows, you know?
Okay. So did this movie require some special effects for the horror portion?
We had
a
girl, her name
something?
Is... Yeah, we had some makeup for one scene. I don't want to, like, it's like a, you know, gives away a little too much. But, yeah, there's just a little bit of makeup in it. But the rest, it's all kind of little simple tricks, you know, the little scares and stuff. It's kind of a simple little, like, filmmaking tricks that, you know, if, when you watch it, you sort of, you catch. It's kind of a fun way to do that, you know, so.
So this movie is premiering this weekend. So, Michael, maybe just talk a little bit about that. I will also put this out on my blog, but just for our listeners right now, do you want to just mention what's happening this weekend?
Sure. Yeah, Friday. The Suitor is going to be premiering this Friday at A.J. Dillon Gallery in Atlantic Highlands. It's right on First Avenue. I think it's 54 First Avenue. We're telling people the doors are at 7:30. You can just come anytime between 7:30. We're going to show the film at 9:30. But we're going to have, it's a free admission. You can just come in. It's an art gallery. We're going to have free drinks and free snacks, and everyone can just hang out and chat with the cast and crew beforehand. And then at the culmination of the event, we're going to show the film and just have a good time. It should be fun.
I think it's such a fun thing to have the opportunity to meet the cast and the crew. And, you know, because that's one of the reasons I love the film festivals and even like Friday night, because most people who go to movies don't have the opportunity to really speak to a filmmaker. And it's kind of cool to actually get right to the filmmaker and see what was going through your mind. Yeah.
And the actors, too. You know what I mean? I think it's great just to chat with
course.
The actors,
and,
you know?
And the actors, yeah. Do you love that part of it yourself as a filmmaker to, you know, kind of get down and dirty with the, get out with the people?
Yeah, no, I love that. I love just, you know, kind of hearing what people think and just talking to people, answering questions. You know, I'm a pretty personal person, so I don't, you know, I love, you know, communicating and talking to people, and especially if they have an interest in what you do. It's always great to talk to people.
Now, Michael, have you ever acted in any of your own films, like a la Hitchcock?
No, but I did slip a picture of myself at the beginning of a Manasquan Bank commercial that I recently did. That if you live in Monmouth and Ocean County, you'll see it. Yeah, if you see a Manasquan Bank commercial and there's a little picture of a boy, that's me. So I just did that as a little funny thing, you know.
But what do you think? You think the adult version of that boy will ever make an appearance in a movie?
I don't know. I think I'm better suited to be behind the, you know, be behind the camera working with actors. But, you know, maybe a little Hitchcock thing would be kind of fun, you know. But I don't think I'm going to be speaking lines or anything like that. No, I don't think I want to do that.
Well, I think it's a fun thing, the Hitchcock thing, because it's usually such a brief moment that if you blink practically, you know, you miss it. So, but
it's
cool that he does that.
Yeah. Yeah, I always love looking for him. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know. And it's so easy to miss. Now, if money weren't an object for you, what is the subject matter that you would love to cover in a film? If you could just do whatever you wanted. Money wasn't an object.
That'd be a good one. Yeah, I'd probably, I don't know, maybe do like a, I'd always love to do like a UFO story, you know, and go big budget and actually build like a UFO or something like that. You know, that would be fun, you know, to have the means to be able to construct, not do like a CGI, like a computer generated UFO, but it actually build like a physical UFO, you know. And I was just watching with my kids the behind the scenes of the new Star Wars movie, because it just came out on Blu-ray, and it was so cool how they did a lot of practical effects in that film. And I think that's why it was so successful. You know, it looks so good.
I know. I'm sometimes more interested in all the effects and everything else than the story. But like we said before, when it's seamless and you can't tell, I guess that's when it's really successful. If you figure it out, they didn't do such a good job.
Exactly. Right.
So what advice might you have for some aspiring filmmakers of any ages, really?
I think it's just important to just get out there and do as much as possible. You know, I think a lot of filmmakers, you know, might not have confidence and be down on themselves, but I think the best thing to do is just get out there, get your friends together and just make films. Whether they're good or bad, it doesn't matter. The more you're going to make, the better you're going to get. And try to write, you know, give yourself a goal. I'm going to write a 2-minute film, you know, and I'm going to film it with my friends. We're going to do it, you know, in a week, and just get it done, do it as much as possible. So that way you better your craft.
Everyone has to start somewhere. And I guess you can even just be using your cell phone for a camera. You can use whatever you have, right? You don't need to start with expensive equipment. Yeah.
No, if you have an iPhone, the camera on the iPhone's way better than a lot of video cameras were, like, you know, even 2 years ago. You know what I mean? It's crazy.
Yeah. That is kind of crazy, but I feel like things like this are so accessible now, so that anyone can just go out there and, you know, have some fun. Not everyone is going to be a great filmmaker, but you got to start somewhere. Well, you know what?
We are
almost out of time. It's like the fastest 30 minutes ever. But, of course, Michael Boylan from Pennant Films, it's always my pleasure to speak with you. And I wish
you
very
good
luck. My pleasure. And I wish you good luck this weekend with The Suitor. I'd be very curious
to
see that. That looks like a horror comedy. That's kind of a cool combination.
Yeah.
So reminding everyone that I'll put some links up to all Michael's information. That'll be on my blog. That'll be out there within the hour or so. All right, everyone, remember, 30 minutes can change your life. So please keep listening to Jersey Coastal Live. My guest today, once again, filmmaker Michael Boylan, and I'm Andrea Tarr. I'll see everyone next time on Jersey Coastal Live. Bye, Michael. Take care.
Bye, Andrea. Thank you.
You're welcome.